But before we jump into a scripture passage, I want to recap a little bit how the last couple weeks have gone. So 2 weeks ago or so, we asked some questions that launched us or had us thinking about what it is that we're known for, and then the second question of what we wish we were known for. These questions were ones asked to congregations and churches throughout the state of Indiana, and they led me back to a passage that Jesus gave when Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Jesus then went on to say that if we do that well, if we learn to love one another well, if we love God well, then everyone, other people, will start to know that we are the followers of Jesus. And so the questions of what we're known for and what we wish we're known for ultimately come back to Jesus and his love, Jesus and people, Jesus and his love for people. Those are the questions and the framework that have been guiding or leading us the past several weeks and that will hopefully find their culmination today. Jesus' command is for us, it's an invitation for us to go back to the basics of our faith, back to the basics of what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. We can get caught up in so much in our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everywhere in between, that Jesus just simply calls to us. And I love that song, calls us by name, back to the table, back to Jesus. And so as we launch into fall, and glory to God, I'm so ready for cool temperatures. I know we've got a few more days in the 90s coming this week, but I'm so excited for fall. But as I think not only of football season and the changes of weather, I also think about my relationship with Jesus. And so 2 weeks ago, we were reminded that Jesus has to take a greater priority in our lives. We have to go back to Jesus, back to the basics. In junior high or high school, I learned this little acronym called JAM time, Jesus and me. Do you remember when I talked about that 2 weeks ago? It's having JAM time throughout your week and throughout your day, just a little piece, perhaps even a chapter of Mark. Anyone been reading the Gospel of Mark? Today's your last day. Hopefully you got caught up. If not, that's fine. It was just an opportunity or an invitation to get back to spending time with Jesus. Jesus, our first love. And then last week, Pastor Jill spoke to us about the call to not only love Jesus, but then to love one another. Because if we learn to do that well, Jesus said, everyone will know that we are his followers. And man, if we get that right, that can change everything. If we learn to love one another well, because shouldn't that be what the church is known for? About our love for God and how we love one another? Pastor Jill went through this list last week of the 10 reasons why people leave the church or are done with the church. And there's this growing population of not only the nuns, those who check the box when they say, "What is your religion?" They check none. But more and more people are now checking the box or adding a third option saying, "Done. I'm done with it. I love Jesus, but I'm done with the church." I think those are people who probably didn't experience a whole lot of love in their congregations. Maybe you felt that way. I know I have. But Jesus commands us not only love him, but to love one another. And if we do that well, if we do that well, people will start saying that's what those Christians and that church is known for, the love for Jesus and the love they have for one another. And so when I think back to Scripture and I read the stories of the earliest Christians who gathered and who loved each other and took care of each other, the Scriptures went on to say that daily God was adding to their numbers those who were being saved. That is an incredible church, an incredible community, an incredible group of people who are known for their love for each other and their love for God. All the good that they did, all the wonderful ministries that they led, all of the lives that were changed and touched grew out of their love for God and love for each other and for their desire to go out and share God's love with the world. And so that's our landing pad today. That's where we're coming home. We talked about loving Jesus, we've talked about loving each other, and now we're talking about God's command to go out and share Christ's love with the world. Now, there's a whole host of scripture passages that we could go to learn more about what it might look like for us to share God's love with the least, the last, the lost, our neighbors, our family, our coworkers, heaven forbid, our bosses. But what would it look like to share God's love with the world? Because that's what the world is, right? Not just the world out there, but our little worlds that we circle in and are influenced by and influence. This morning, however, though, I want to take us to a certain passage found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, 9 through 17. I'm going to read this together. Before I do, I want to set the stage a little bit. This is after Jesus had already died and had been resurrected. And he's made a couple appearances after his resurrection to people, but here he comes to be with the disciples, to be with Peter specifically. They'd spent the previous night fishing. They'd gone back to their old ways of living, their familiar ways, their known ways. And all that they had done that night, that which they're supposed to be good at, continued to fail, and it wasn't working. And so Jesus told them to try a new thing, to cast their nets to the other side, where they caught so many fish they weren't even able to haul up their nets. There's a lesson in there, too, about trying new things, but we'll save that for when Kevin gets back. Let's follow chapter 21 together. When they, the disciples, landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, oddly specific, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same thing with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep." The third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Amen. Well, to widen the circle a little bit and to talk more about the surrounding events, this conversation, this breakfast on the beach occurred just a few days after Peter had denied Christ three times. You remember that story in Jesus' passion and his crucifixion stories about Peter denying him three times before the rooster crowed? When Jesus came to them on the shore, Peter was at one of the lowest places in his life. Lowest. Denied Christ, gone back to old ways, given up on the new ones, broken, fragile, a failure. But even there, Jesus went to him. Even in the depths of his despair, Jesus went to him. Wow. You know, throughout the scripture, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, the one who knows his sheep and the sheep know his voice. I love that image. And I love how he goes to Peter. Now, you know what had to have been an awkward breakfast. There aren't many details of their conversation, perhaps because there was none. Perhaps they just sat and ate in awkward silence. Have you ever had one of those meals? That's really uncomfortable. But I wonder if that's kind of the conversation or the lack thereof that happened between Jesus and Peter until suddenly Jesus breaks the silence with another awkward question. Peter, do you love me? Wow. Maybe you could have softened it a little bit after the last week that Peter's had. And for goodness sakes, Jesus died and rose again. Maybe we could have some small talk in between then. Just to catch up on the last few days. But nevertheless, Jesus comes to him, as Jesus always does, directly, right where it hurts. He sees the wound and puts his finger on it. And he says, Simon, son of John. Pause. This is one of those little things that if we're not careful, we can overlook, or if we haven't read the Bible commentaries, we might miss. Simon, son of John, Peter hasn't been called that since the very first time he met Jesus. When again, he was fishing in a boat and Jesus called out to him, Simon, son of John. He was just a little fisherman, probably a teenager at the time, when Jesus called out to him by name and invited him to follow Jesus. Jesus believed in him then, and Jesus believes in him now. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever our circumstances in life, whether we're on the mountaintops or down in the valleys of despair, Jesus knows us, calls us by name, and believes in us. Simon, son of John, just as he invited Peter at the beginning, so too is he inviting him again, out of the depths, out of his own introspection, out of his own concern for himself, and into a larger life with Jesus. Out of his life and into Christ's. Now, this passage and their conversation is so deep with meaning and rich with nuance. There are many different ways, and you've probably heard some of the ways this passage has been preached. We could do a 3-month series on this passage alone and come up with different sermons for every single week. There are so many things we can gather from it, like the differences between sheep and lambs, and we could study how the only other uses of lamb in the New Testament, how they're all about Jesus, who himself was the sacrificial lamb whose death and resurrection takes away all of our sins. We could dive deep into what kind of love Jesus was talking about with Peter, this agape love. He wanted an all-in kind of love, and yet Peter kept replying with a lesser love, a different love, a friendship kind of love that Peter was willing to give. And by the third time Jesus comes to him and asks him, "Do you love me?" Jesus was no longer asking Peter to come up to him, but Jesus went down to where Peter was and said that, "I'm going to love you as you are and as you need it. Right where you are, right how you are, I'm going to love you." We could even do a study of about shepherds in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, and how they were hired hands whose jobs it was to care for someone else's sheep, which is why Jesus calls himself a good shepherd as opposed to a bad one. A good shepherd goes after the ones who are lost. And if that's what good shepherds do, then I wonder what it is that bad shepherds do instead. This passage is rich and deep with meaning and nuances, but for today, I just want to keep it simple. What Jesus was doing in their conversation together was that he was calling Peter to no longer merely be a sheep, but to now be a shepherd. To no longer merely be a sheep, but to now become a shepherd. So, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Take care of my sheep, feed my lambs. Jesus goes on and says that if you love me, if you have been found, have experienced my love in your life, if you love me and are loving those around you, now I want you to take the next step and become a shepherd yourself. to think about those people in your circles, in your worlds, that you are called to influence and shepherd and care for. It's the same relationship that we all are invited into as well. Jesus loves us, so much so that he wants to work through us in the lives of those around us. Because at some point in the Christian journey, Jesus asks us the same question he asked Peter: do you love me? And if we say yes, then the next step has to be, take care of my sheep. We are called to go from sheep to shepherd, to not only follow as lambs, but to also lead as shepherds. Now, that sounds really nice. That sounds really preachery. I'm kind of proud of myself. I've actually borrowed that from another pastor, so it's a really good preacher thing to say, to go from sheep to shepherd, to follow as lambs, and yet to lead as shepherds. That sounds great, but what does it look like in our lives, in our normal living, outside of this place, in the world, in your worlds? I want to show you again back to that little circle that we've been giving you in handouts the last couple weeks. I thought you might be sick of it, so I didn't put it in your bulletins again this week, but I want to show you the circle one more time. Now, there's a gentleman named Stephen Covey. He wrote a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Has anyone read that book before? Apparently now, in order to sell more books, he's added an eighth, but we won't go down there. There probably are 8 habits. But he writes about the circles of influence that we have. And so the next slide shows that there are so many things in this world that can concern us, but then there are only a circle or a host of which that actually do. So there are things that have no concern to us, but others that are in our circles of concern. Let's go to the next slide. I want to give you a couple examples of what this might be. Hopefully you can see it. If not, pull out your binoculars. Or the app, right? Because it's in the app. Think about what it is that it concerns you or concerns your loved ones, the people in your life, in your circles. For many of us, it's the future. That's an area of concern. And that can be manifest itself in many different ways of what the future is for each one of us. That can include concerns about family finances or job statuses or lack thereof. Can be concerned about relationships and family. I wonder what it is that you're concerned about or what it is that keeps you up at night. A study on Psychology Today talked about the most frequent hours when we are worrying occur between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. Does that resonate with any of you? It did last night for me as I was thinking about what I was going to say today. What is it that's within your circle of concern? There are certain things that might stress you out, certain things that stress me out. You know, next slide shows some things that might popping out in bold, things like family, work, job, purpose, and meaning. What is it that concerns you? But then beyond that, what is it that concerns those around you? It seems to me as I look out, as I listen, as I watch the news and all that's happening in the world globally and in our worlds locally, that we have become a very anxious and stressed out people. A people whose anger derives from our fear, our insecurities, and our lack of control. I talked about this not long ago with our district superintendent, Michelle Cobb. She's kind of been a sort of pastor to me over the years. And what struck me about our conversation, she said, "Jared, I'm not surprised when the world acts that way. They're the world. They don't know any better. What concerns me, however, is when Christians act that way." If that's you, keep following the Good Shepherd. Keep living as sheep and go back to Jesus. But while you do that, keep another hand open, another eye surveying. Did you see how that picture, I love it. Lori Richards, one on staff here, did that for me. How the shepherd stood head and shoulders above the flock. Stand up a little bit and take a wider, grander view at the people that are around you and see what their needs are. One of my favorite TV movies, I guess it was in the movie theaters, but I've only seen like the TNT version of it. It's called The American President. Have you heard of this movie? It's with Michael Douglas, Annette Bening, Michael J. Fox. I think it's way back, it's an old one, back in the 90s, I think is when it came out. We won't go down that road. But Michael Douglas was the president of the United States. And throughout the course of his year, his numbers were dropping and happened to be an election year. You see, he had gotten his priorities a little out of whack. He had to go back 2 weeks ago, he had substituted the minor for the major. What was minor, he became his major, and the important, the big, the grand things took second chair. It's the thing that we all can easily slip into. But he got called out on it by Michael J. Fox's character, who said that people want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, he went on to say, that they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand. To which the president replied, "People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink it because they don't know the difference." People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink it because they don't know the difference. And so when I think about the people who are concerned about their families or their work, their job, even deeper about their purpose and meaning in their lives, when I think about all of the anger and the fear and the uncertainty and the arguing on Facebook in particular, I think people are drinking the sand because they don't know the difference. They're not hearing an alternative voice. They're not seeing an alternative community who's loving so loudly that it drowns out the noise of what's going on in the world. I think people are thirsting for leadership, for good shepherds who will come alongside them and will meet them where they are as they are and will come to them with the love of Jesus. I think people need you in their lives to offer an alternative, to speak a different voice, to give them the cool glass of water that is Jesus Christ. I think people are hungry for a church and a community where people are loved and cared for in ways that they cannot experience anywhere else in their lives. In their workplaces, in their friendship circles, at the concert hall, or at the local bar. I hope that the local church is the place where they experience a love like no other. People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink it because they don't know the difference. Church, it is time for you to shepherd the people entrusted to your care. Well, who are those people? The whole hope of the last couple weeks is that we'd keep it simple. That we'd refocus on Jesus, that we'd learn to love one another well, and that we would then go out and share God's love with our worlds. And so as you look back at the circle, I wonder who is in your circles and your spheres of influence. This morning we're going to gather around the Lord's table as we do every month to share communion together. We're going to gather around the table. And that seems like the simplest place to start. Jesus met Peter around the table of a campfire, sharing a meal together. And so this morning, I'm wondering who it is that sits around your tables. Perhaps the one that you are called to shepherd right now is your spouse. Perhaps God wants you to become more intentional in shepherding and sharing God's love with the ones you live with. Perhaps those sitting around your table are your children, your parents, friends, coworkers, bosses. Who are the people that are in your circles of influence and how might you shepherd their lives? There's something about Jesus where the simplest of moments, the simplest of meals, the simplest of people can become the most sacred. And so whether you're at the golf course or the dinner table or even doing a wonderful ministry here at the church, I wonder how you might shepherd those in your care. You don't always have to talk about Jesus and meaning and purpose and the deeper things of life, but when the time comes that your friends and the people in your life wish to have those conversations, shepherds are the ones who are prepared to walk down those roads too. You don't have to be a Jesus freak to share the love of Christ in deep and powerful and sacred ways with the people that you're doing life with already. You don't have to change the world, but you are called to shepherd in yours. That's the call. And that's ultimately where where love leads us. Jesus and me, Jesus and us, Jesus for the world. Because it's always, always, always about Jesus and his love. Amen.